that needs to be considered and a value placed on that. If this is the kind of situation that exists, then the preservation of that land for agricultural uses may be much more difficult than if this is the kind of situation that exists. And if this exists and it's going to require the development of power lines, water systems, road systems, schools and bus systems, then certainly we would think that this ought to have a higher value placed on it for maintaining it in agricultural uses. The agricultural site assessment system for a proposed land use conversion then takes each one of these factors and places some criteria and gives value points. For instance, if the site of the size of the site or farm is 100 acres or more, then generally we would think that maybe 10 points ought to be allowed. If the size of the site is only 10 acres, then certainly many fewer points would be allowed. And then on the basis of this, each one could be rated one against another and each factor against another relative to its viability for maintaining. And each one of these, each one of the factors that I have suggested up there would be given ratings of that kind and criteria that lies within each of those factors as to how you could determine its desirability would be given factors. The system then, after all of these values have been placed on it, and each one of those factors would get one, and may I say that those factors are not established as I've shown them to you on the screen. These can be decided and determined by the local group that's working this system up. These are simply only suggested elements or criteria that ought to be considered. Then in this case, as you will see, and you can't read that very clearly, but each of those factors, the first one being the soils, is given a value of 100 points. And the highest and most desirable soil for maintaining an agricultural use would be given 100 points. Those soils that would have least desirability for maintaining an agricultural uses may be down to 10 points or 0 or whatever that may be. Then the other factors in part 2, the site assessment factors, would have a combined set of points of, we suggest, 200 points. In other words, this is a 2-to-1 value for the factors, the site assessment factors, over the physical soils factors. Washington County elected to go with 50-50. They felt that the soil factors should have equal consideration with the other factors, and so they went 50-50, which would make it 150 points for soils and 150 for the others. In this instance, this example shows 100 points for the soils at its maximum, and you would have 200 points for all of the combined factors in the site assessment. Each of those factors and their criteria being given points, and then a relative weight so that it will equal out to no more than 200 points or to whatever value you decide to place on that. Okay. Now, implementation. This is implemented through local committees. Part one is done, the land evaluation, by district conservationists who usually coordinates, a soil scientist, assistance from the Soil Conservation Service at state level as needed, the county planners, the extension advisor, the Soil and Water Conservation District representative, academic people from universities, or anyone with knowledge of soils and agriculture in the area. The implementation of part two of the site assessment is also by a local committee, with the coordinator being the local county planner. And then we would suggest that the district conservationist, a member of the county planning commission or board, realtors or developers or anyone who has interest and knowledge at the local level on land use planning. And these two committees then coordinate with each other. They understand how each part of the system was designed and how they fit together. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's very quick, and I would invite questions afterwards, but before I hear the questions, I would suggest that you listen to a few minutes real example of what we did in Linn County, in which we made an effort to go through and group their soils, place relative values on the soils, and decide which ones should be appropriately maintained in agriculture uses. Also went through and suggested factors and placing the values on these factors. And I would like to turn to you, Bill Forrest, to give you a short discussion of the findings in Linn County.
Thank you, Marcel.
Okay. I think he's got some slides.
Marcel has made this thing sound a whole heck of a lot more complicated than what it really needs to be. We did go through the procedure that has been developed and used. In other states, those six states, incidentally, there have been some lawsuits in those six states, and the court has held up to the LISA system. What I'm saying is a defensible system, at least in those areas where they've adopted LISA. As explained by Marcel, we actually have two systems, and I call it LISA, he calls it Land Evaluation Site Assessment, but I think of it as a girlfriend, one that I've become quite fond of. I think it really has some potential at the local level and at the state level to be used in land use planning. Back in 1970-71, I can recall we started using the Land Capability System. At that time, I thought it was a can of worms, and I still do. The LISA system incorporates the Land Capability Classification System and other things in it. We don't completely eliminate Land Capability Classification. But what we do include, at least in Linn County, are soil potential ratings, along with the Land Capability Class. I'm going to show you an example of what we are doing in Linn County briefly. As Marcel said before, we have been developing the system. We have just completed the agricultural part, rating all the agricultural soils by code activity and placing relative values on each one of these soils. You're going to see that we're going to have some soils with a relative value of practically 5, and we can consider that as being marginal. We're going to see some soils actually that will show 100. These are the best soils that we have in the county. And then you're going to see an array throughout the system from 0 clear up to 100. Herb Huddleston from OSU and Hugh Hickerson, our soil scientist, myself, actually spent about 7 days developing what we think is a system for Linn County. Most of the other counties that have adopted the system have used one indicator crop. For instance, in Iowa, they use corn. When you take a look at the state of Oregon, particularly the Willamette Valley, what you're looking at is a diverse mix of crops. If we were looking at just primarily marginal soils, we could take a look at about 70,000 acres of grass seed soils that lay on the valley floor that are producing about 1,800 pounds of annual ryegrass per acre, or capable of doing that, per year. These certainly aren't marginal for grass seeds, at least annual ryegrass. Maybe for other grass seeds they are. We're looking at a tremendous infrastructure developed in Linn County. Fertilizers, storage, a marketing system second to none, and excellent transportation facilities. Our method varied slightly from what they recommended in the handbook. In there, they recommended breaking the soils into about 10 different groups, containing about 6 to 15% of the farmland in each one of those groups. Then a relative value for each group is then determined on a scale of 0 to 100, and Marcel showed that scale to you on the screen. And with the best group having a relative value of 100. In our approach, we calculate the relative values directly from soil potentials. I'm going to show a couple of overheads here.
showing what soil potentials really are. The soil potential ratings are classes that indicate the relative quality of soil compared with other soils in the area for a particular crop. Considered our predicted yield, the relative cost of applying modern technology to minimize the effect of soil limitations, and the adverse effects of continuing limitations, if any, on social, economic, and environmental value.
All we did, we took every ag soil that we had, about 97 of them, we went through each one of those soil mapping units, agricultural soil mapping units, we determined the yield, the highest potential yield from those soils, we determined then the gross income, subtracted from that all of the capital improvements needed, for instance, drainage, irrigation systems, and so forth. We amortized the cost of these systems over a particular lifespan at a certain rate of interest. We took other types of cost that may not occur every year, but maybe every 3 or 4 years. These could be maintenance costs. We subtracted those dollar figures from our total gross income from that acre. What we actually came down to was a net income per acre from that. Then we simply took that total and divided it into the net income of even the lowest soil to give us a relative value. So we were able to array our soils then from 0 to 100. I'm going to show you what that chart looked like. It even surprised the best of us who put it together. I said before, the map symbol occurs to the left, the 240A, the Willamette silt loam, 0 to 3%. This is the best soil that occurs here in the Willamette Valley. It is prime farmland. The mean return from that, and this takes into consideration, instead of one indicator crop, we use four in Linn County. We use annual ryegrass, wheat, irrigating sweet corn, and pasture. So the figures you see up there are a composite of those four different crops, the mean return per acre. The relative value of 100, the capability class of 1, and the important farmland determination is prime, with the total number of acres of each one of these things shown. What I want to show you, if you look down here, to protect the integrity of the land capability classification system, you can see this line right here. That line didn't really just happen. That's the way these figures came out when we started doing our calculations, which is really significant. About everything from here on up is prime farmland, except for one which is statewide, and that's this one right here. And the only reason why that's statewide is because it's on a 3-12% slope, and erosion is a problem on that particular soil. The only other one that's out of date is this one right down here, this prime farmland soil of Saturn Barren. Roughly about 640 acres in the entire county. But everything else is arrayed there pretty well. If we're looking at marginal farmland, let's take a look at this soil through here. Because you're getting into that, this would have an impact on Linn County. Take a look at the Aubrey. Get that over where you can see the total acres on it. Which I think, let's take the date. This one right here. 0 to 2%. It has a relative value of 37. It's class 4W soil. There's almost 60,000 acres of that particular soil in the valley. It is an excellent soil for ryegrass. Grain will grow almost any kind of grass seed. Will grow sweet corn, and I've actually seen 8 tons of alfalfa per acre coming off that soil under an irrigated situation. But when you rate these, when you show the relative value of these soils, and you add all these, the low uses like pasture and so forth, this is the kind of situation that you get. Last week we met with the local planning, county planning office, and with the OSU people, with some SES people. We sat down and we started working on part two of LISA, which are the local factors, and I think they're quite important. One of the things we're trying to do is to develop an entirely objective system. Because one of the pitfalls we can see in this system is that if you have judgment planners making judgment factors up there, each one of those planners could make a different judgment on the same issue. And so we're trying to get around that by developing the kind of criteria that Marcel was talking about, factors that will address this thing, and be in all honesty with the people that apply for these types of partitions and so forth in land use planning. I'm going to show you the McHenry County site assessment factors. This was one of the first in the nation. I just want to show you how it works. Once we get the tables here fixed up, all relative values for all these soils put together, we're going to be doing that for Woodland starting May 1. We'll simply be able to provide to the county planning staff a total relative value for any plot. If they submit a plot to us, we can give them a relative value. We're doing that right now on some of the cases that have been turned back from LCDC to the county. And we're trying out this system to work. Then we're going to be developing the actual site assessment factors, which make up about 200 points. At least it does in most of these states that have used the 300-point approach, 100 for soils and 200 for the various factors. If you take a look at this thing, and this is by no means any suggestion, but what it does do here, it shows the percentage of site in agriculture. It has an assigned weight of 1.1 with various categories, or various point values given to that particular site. Planner would simply be able to take an area from 75 to 100, he'd plop a 10 down on his summary figure, and that would be it for that site. He goes down to land zoned agriculturally 1.5 miles from site. He sees that 90% of that is in agriculture. He puts a 10 down on his chart. When he gets all done with all of these factors, taking his objective approach, he then does this. You have a regular chart set up for this. He puts the maximum points per factor, he puts the assigned weight, he multiplies those together, he adds all those things up. 200 points and 100 points, 100 for the soils and 200 for the site assessment. If he wants to, he can go ahead and weigh two or three different sites, if two or three different sites are being considered. That gives him the maximum number of points that these two examples pointed out. He then would take the 273 points for site one, and there has to be a break-off point between 200 and 300 to say whether or not you're going to keep that land in agriculture or whether or not you're going to go ahead and convert it to some other use. It's been suggested that maybe the break-even point would be maybe 225. So in this case, the first site, probably out in some rural area, would get 273 points. Would get 273 points, and it would be left in agriculture. The adjacent site would get only 124 points, and it could be converted to some other use. But I think the significant part about this thing is that we have it keyed in on soils to the point where they're the prime thing. We've considered economics. We've considered the social things that are occurring within the state. We've taken a look at soils, and you always have to. But we look at those other factors that make agricultural viability real important.
Mr. Forrest, I'm going to have to kind of start summarizing a little bit here. We told Mr. Ashton we'd have about a half hour for this. We're almost at 45 minutes.
I'm finished anyway, really, basically. I want to show you what we're doing in Linn County. We're going to continue on with our efforts. We plan to try it out in the county sometime this fall. We think that this may be a potential way to get out of the situation that the land capability classification has got us into with LCDC and the people that are over here at this meeting right now to testify before or half on marginal lands. We think this is key in on marginal lands for you. We really do.
You think it's ready to be applied right now?
We could apply Lisa in the county this fall, in Linn County.
I mean, on a statewide basis?
No.
No.
Very definitely not. That's one of the pitfalls. Like you said before, we need a soil survey.
So you think it would be appropriate to have, if we were to, for example, direct the Joint Committee on Land Use to begin considering accumulating the data to implement this in the future to replace the existing soil classification survey?
We think that with Oregon advanced to the point that it is, having already established their UGB and other zones, that it could be adapted immediately in any county on a site-by-site basis. Were you to carry it out on a statewide basis, we could only begin accumulating the data county by county until we have completed the soil survey.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
sir. We could help project that before in the 90s.
Yes,
Chairman?
Yeah, just one last question. I guess the other point that strikes me is that under the Oregon land use laws, you can have EFU going right up to the urban growth boundary. And under your system, you reduce, you take points away from it on the basis of proximity to an urban center. Seems to me, under that situation, you provide a method for the city just to continue creeping on out, which was one of the original reasons we set up the law in the first place.
I think it's like anything else, though. Let's just take the areas within the urban growth boundary. We know that probably a lot of that's going to be converted again gradually. Maybe you limit the type of conversions on that land, you know, based on the availability to get sewer and water to it. This system would plug all that information in. It would help you do that. It's true what you say, but I still think that there's some way that you could write some legislation to preclude that type of a situation.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Senator, let me assure you that you place a weight value on each one of those as you best see fit, and that may carry a very low value, that adjacent. Plus the fact, you don't have to use proximity to an urban growth boundary at all. You can select any of those factors that you want that are important to you. So in the state of Oregon, that may not be an important factor since we have urban growth boundaries. The message I want to get across to you is that you select the factors and the criteria that you want, that you think are important.
Senator Day, then Senator Hurd.
Yeah, well, the point I think you have to make right there is the fact that you take that site selection that you just showed us in that process, first of all, trying to apply that universally isn't going to work. You're going to have to work it on some form of exception process. The second thing is that if you look at what you're saying is, you say, well, the soil process got us into this process. And that's why we're trying to make this evaluation in some other way. The real factor is that we decided that we were going to set aside an urbanization area, and we did it. The second thing we did was determine how we started to identify farm or resource land. That's why the soils were used. Because you may put your evaluation system that says a particular area land may not be as rich for farming at a given point in time, it still may not be developable because of the fact that we can't service it, you see. And what's so terribly difficult here is you've got water supply. We had a good guy. I don't want to even talk about water. I sent our kids out when I've been immersed in water, almost drowning. We need a life preserver. And some of you know what I'm talking about, but he doesn't. But basically, there are other factors other than just to determine whether it's a viable unit for production per se. You see, you could have 10 separate parcels that, if combined in a certain area, could be a viable unit. And
right.
I guess the thing that I have a little problem with your process there is that you're looking at equating it based on certain uses it may be put to for farming, okay? The other set of criteria we have to understand is can we use it for other reasons, and because do we have services available for it, and is it desirable to develop at a given point in time, you see? And
that could be one of the factors that geared into this thing.
Well, I understand all those factors. Under the current process, we gear it into that. And in the current process, we take a position, for gosh sakes, that we just simply set aside an urbanization factor. And outside that, we aren't going to urbanize anymore. And some of our problem is that prior to doing that, in prior years, we were urbanizing all right. The developers would jump out and urbanize something real dandy, and then the cities and counties were said, okay, we want this service. Our water is polluted. We want you to get a water supply, or we want certain services. And the reason for trying to bring land use planning was really very simple, a delivery of services to an urban center, and how we could handle that in such a way and not try to constantly inundate and play leapfrog. And so I guess, not that I don't think your system is interesting and how you would apply it on an exception process on a fact-finding basis, but when the Soil and Conservation Service was attending the hearings back in 74 and 75, they were the first to admit they didn't know how to necessarily apply and evaluate. And all you're talking about is the carrying capacity of land versus water. That's the system I think you're applying, and if you apply a carrying capacity of water body, you can do that much more readily. But that's what I see your system as. But I guess my point to you is there's more going into it, and I don't see the factors waiting, services available, viability of schools and that type of thing that are for a more urban center. You know, what's happened is we'll develop certain land, allow partitioning to take place, and all of a sudden we have another urbanized area that we haven't controlled on our side. And so I don't see how that controls that. Matter of fact, you may want to address that, but I don't see how you're really addressing it in that way. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sir, many of the counties in eastern Oregon would be ready to launch into this program.
Some of them are.
How many?
Just
one.
Umatilla County is right here. Wasco County, Gilliam County. Mason County is very near. Union County we're just in the completion process. We have it in Mount Hewer. We're in the process in Harney now. Now, as I speak of these, I'm speaking only of cropland. I'm not speaking of all rangeland. We do not have soil surveys. Our soil surveys have been made initially on the croplands, because that's where the pressure was the greatest. But I would say probably two-thirds of the eastern counties we could get into on the cropland parts.
Thank you both very much, and we may at some point have you back again to discuss this a little more. Thank you. Okay, I'd like to take, Mr. Carnegie, and is Hector here? Signed up, but I don't, oh, there he is. Okay, and as you know today, we're focusing in on the
yes.
Marginal lands and the...
Except I'll have to give a very brief rebuttal to that. I won't trust myself to saying, giving all my reactions.
Could you put your name on the tape, sir?
Cliff Carnegie, 1911 Northeast Pax, Corvallis. I'm a full-time farmer in Benton County, a very strong supporter of our land use laws and of their system that we have used, the soil classification. As a farmer, I think they're serving us well. That isn't where our problem is. I'll summarize my response to the last two presentations is, I think this is what we get when somebody comes out of the ivory tower and has never pulled a plow, has never driven a tractor. That's maybe overstating it, but it's pretty well summarized, I think. Having participated in the development of the marginal lands category, I'm optimistic that it can make a contribution. However, I would caution that you not expect too much of it. It will not pacify those who want a lot of recordville, those concerned about the so-called property rights, and those who are simply against land use planning. In those areas where there actually is a certain level of marginalness, this marginal land proposal can apply. I understand that field testing has indicated that only some counties would be able to use it. I never expected it to fit in my Benton County. Here, the land that originally would have met the second marginal land test was given RR zoning by the exception process back there about 5-6 years ago. Benton County did not support Measure 6 last November. Benton County defeated Measure 6 by a good margin. I could expect that some of the land in Benton County that was zoned RR by the exception process earlier will find its way into the marginal land category. The people in Benton County who are unhappy with planning will not be pacified with less than effective gutting of the whole system. That's all I have to say.
Yes. So starting with
it sounds like you're saying that a better approach than the bill is to tighten up the exceptions process, sort of work through that.
I have never had any problems with the exception process. I saw it work in Benton County, and I've been impressed with it.
Okay, thanks, Chairman.
Senator Day?
I think part of the process in the exception process, don't you think, is that if you can find some arrive at some arrangement between local government and LCDC, it may have worked. But if it's challenged in the before LUBA and the courts, it hasn't worked as well. Has that been your observation, Mr. Carnegie? Or?
Well, I've been involved in quite a number of appeals, and I would just have to point out that the people who have been challenging these things.